Thanks for listening to Open Caller on Anchor. Before we start, do we make sure everything's working?
It's been waiting.
Like 3-4 weeks where something's gone wrong.
We're breaking the cycle. We are good to go. We are good to go. Everything is working. Internet's fine. Maybe the squalls will have something to say about that.
The vortex later, is coming.
But no, we are good.
The vortex is coming. Everybody look out.
What's new this week?
No snow. The vortex.
And Natalia, for our listeners that are in Brazil, they're wondering what the hell we're talking about. Winter is a prolonged season here in the Great White North, and it basically spits whatever it wants at us.
Just gonna say here, let me look at the analytics. I don't know how big we are in Brazil.
No.
We have 2% of our audiences in France, 1% in Germany.
Ooh la la.
Less than 1% Brazil. So yeah, perfect. We do have Mexico, Spain, India, all the warm places.
That's it. They're laughing at us through their podcast aggregator.
Yeah.
You suckers. Yeah.
And the ironic thing is you went and talked about Groundhog Day last week and it's Groundhog Day today.
So it did see its shadow. Right?
Only in Ontario, it seems.
In Ontario. Okay. Did you hear about the groundhog in Montreal?
Yes. That's the one that died?
Unfortunate.
Showed up dead?
They throw a kid on stage like, hey, quick, look at the shadow. That way, if it doesn't work out in their favor, they could be like, ah, well, you know, it was a kid. It wasn't really as it would.
That's the thing, right? Traumatize the children who waited for whatever his name is.
They were running off a whole bunch of different groundhogs throughout Canada, and one is Balzac Bob, I think it is, in good old Balzac, Alberta, not too far from Calgary. Good old stone's throw to the Balzac.
Shout out to all the Balzacians.
Alberta, in and around, they've got Balzac, they've got Vulcan as a little town, although that would be kind of cool. I'm sure there's been a lot of Star Trek events and festivals.
Say, does the name predate the show?
Well, that's a good question. Like the original show from the 60s.
Maybe. Is it one of those cases where people rename their cities?
It's a small enough town. We'll have to get back to that. I'd say it's close to it. Like, I don't see Vulcan being something that they propped up in good old 1999 just when TNG was on the air. Or do you have the answer?
Simple Google. Contrary to what pop culture might lead you to believe, the town of Vulcan did not get its name from the science fiction show.
Well, what else would it get it from? Like
1910, a CPR surveyor who had a fondness for Roman mythology named the town after the Roman god of fire.
So Roddenberry stole the name from the town in Alberta. This, you know, see, we just like we uncover these things on Open Caller, we expose them, we
dig deep.
Yeah, never been, but they, I'm sure they have a lot of Star Trek
podcasts. They use Google in their show.
Do they even have Google in Vulcan, or do they use Bing?
I say this is as unrealistic as the Amazing Spider-Man movie is. The fact that he used Bing is like the worst crime that movie ever committed.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. And we were all for the Ditko looking lizard until
he saw showed up.
That lizard.
Yeah. It wasn't what it was meant to be. Even the second one. Was it the second one with Harry Osborn?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's in Dune, I can't remember his name. He's got an unusual name, the actor. Yeah, no. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. But the Harry Osborn intro in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
There was that scene. It was on TV and I had it on for maybe 10 minutes. And there was the scene where he first met Gwen in the elevator going down after Peter had helped her sneak back into Osborn, assuming. And it was just a weird and just didn't seem natural, the scene, and very poor choice for that character. I don't know what they were thinking. Mark Webb, right? Is that who directed it? Yeah.
First two, yeah. Well, the only two.
So basically everything outside of Andrew Garfield was shite. And, you know, Gwen Stacy was great too. The two of them were awesome. But everything else was just, it fell by the wayside.
Yeah, he's like, as I think I've said before, he's the only one that seemed naturally happy to have that role.
Yeah, it's true.
Some people, it was just a job. But that guy just seemed to embody everything that you want.
It was someone's birthday this week.
Me? Oh, yeah, that's right. Short. As my common answer for anything. How was weekend? Short. How was the day? Short.
Not long enough.
I made a point to make it be as little about it as possible. I want just another day.
Okay. And here I am announcing it on the podcast.
So. Yeah, way to go, you son of a bitch.
Was it good? No, though? Like,
yeah, like the worst part, and I don't get me wrong, it's a good thing, but worst part as in just like not expected, never in a million years ever would have thought is, but I was off, I took the day off. And I was going through my emails, just, you know, just dusting anything that I know I didn't have to deal with. And I got an email from Best Buy, which I would never get from a work email. And it was an e-gift certificate sent from work. My department like all chipped in and like sent a present. I'm like, son of a bitch. Now I have to be nicer. Yeah.
Say thank you.
Say thank you.
Tell them what I got, what I did.
Yeah, you know? Like... Ugh. The audacity of people showing kindness.
Just when you thought you could slide right under the radar.
Yeah, right?
It hits you right in the head.
It's only been like, what, 15 years I've been working there.
And that was the first time. Did you slip up in casual conversation? Was it like, hey, it's my birthday? Oh, and then they caught on? Or did HR?
Yeah, I don't know. Your profile? Yeah, it's the thing. Like, it's there. Like, they could find it if they looked for it.
For sure.
I don't know how the conversation came up because usually, like, I was talking to my manager just booking days off. Yeah, I know when I said, like, this date and this date, she goes, well, that date, that's your birthday, right? Just like, I'm like, yeah. But that was, like, weeks ago. And nothing was ever said about it before or and or after. And here we are.
She has a steel trap for a mind. Even that slightest slip up.
How
she
dare
caught
I?
It.
How dare I?
So what did you get? Did you get anything? Do you plan on getting anything?
I haven't got anything yet.
Eyeballing anything?
I always eyeball. I mean, a window shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta wait for those crazy sales.
That's one thing about gift cards is that it makes the most sense to go out and use them before you forget them.
Yes.
But at the same time, you don't want to just waste them, right? Because, you know, it's money in your pocket that you don't have to fork out. So you want to make sure you do your due diligence and...
Yeah. Get your value.
Yeah. The extra value value.
I used to love going to Future Shop. Before it changed over.
Date yourself.
Yeah, well, but it was one of those things I used to love going on the weekend just to window shop, look at TVs that I couldn't afford, check out, you know, whatever it was, like new phones, computers. Like it was a cool place to window shop, and there's not really that many. And it's saying a lot now because now I enjoy going to Canadian Tire and window shop. So I'm kind of, you know, on that next part of the golf.
Showing your age.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What's oh my true? God, sod is on sale.
Hedge clippers.
Hedge clippers.
Amazing. Well, it's the thing too. Like rewind the clock 10 years ago, you walk into a Best Buy or a Future Shop, if it was around then, which I think it probably wasn't 10 years ago. Just the different things you can go in. Oh, look, there's games, there's movies, there's a phone section, there's a computer section. Now you walk in there and I don't know if I just stopped paying attention to technology, but you walk in and you're just greeted with, look at all these smart connected devices that I didn't even know existed. Or like the movie section is half a rack now. Even the video games is not like what it used to be. It's more just big displays. And now they have, especially at Best Buy, basically your home electronics, your fridges, your stoves, everything.
Vacuums, toasters.
Vacuums,
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mention that because over the holidays for Christmas, I had gotten Jade a smart kettle. Mm-hmm. And it worked out perfect because she'd always said that you know, it's a pain in the ass when you get up in the morning and she likes her cup of tea, but she has to go downstairs and get it ready. Well, this new smart kettle allows her to sync it to her phone via Bluetooth, and she can be in the comfort of her bed and press play or press on, not play. Press on, and it will boil it for her, and it will hold the temperature for up to an hour. You can set a timer for when you want the kettle to start boiling. And like 10 years ago, even, like, there was none of this, you know.
No, we were like, you know, you're waking up early and putting your bacon strips in your George Foreman and going back to sleep.
100%. And so Best Buy has changed. There is, like, toasters. I want to say there's even like cribs and baby stuff at Best Buy, which is a bit mind-blowing, because I don't necessarily think Best Buy if I'm a new parent or a soon-to-be new parent. Best Buy is not really top.
That's where you're going. Sure.
Like, oh, the mom comes for the crib and the dad leaves with the TV. Maybe that's their
I find most thing. Like specialty stores now are not focusing on their specialty. Like going into a GameStop, like you expect to be getting video games, but most of the store is collectibles and... Yeah. They sell refurbished cell phones now.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I go into GameStop at least once a week because of the boys and because of the figures. I've never noticed refurbished phones. But to your point, like,
very small display case.
The we got Pokemon ramen bowls, like with chopsticks for the boys for Christmas.
Yeah.
They love their Mr. Noodles. But yeah, you can get everything. And it's funny because I have a PS4, not that I play it all that much, but I like to go and see what games are there, use games and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's like the section is like, I could probably stretch my arms out and that's your options. Whereas before, like, remember Microplay? It was the whole store.
And you also get like classic consoles and stuff at those places
too. Yeah. Yeah. We actually went to a store close to where we live about 6 months or so ago, and they specialize in older consoles and older games. Like, I saw Genesis, I saw an original Nintendo, Sony, first gen Sony, PlayStation. And then there were some of the other ones that, well, like, what was, there was a console that never really made it that far.
It was Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had all the games. It was really cool and nostalgic, and they can cost a lot of money now. Like, if you wanted to get your original NES system with, like, Duck Hunt or even Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you're probably looking at about $250 for an 8-bit game that is probably harder to play now than what it was back when you first originally played it.
And I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that, because a lot of people were looking to get into that. I remember the Stittsville Flea Market here has a store, because it's inside, right? So it has a storefront inside, and that's what they sell, all the used stuff. And it was dirt cheap. But now when I look into their pricing and I've like inquired about, it's like double, sometimes triple the cost. I think just people were
kick yourself in the ass, because like,
they were looking to get into stuff because they couldn't go anywhere and do anything, right? And you couldn't get a PlayStation 5 to save your life. So let's go back.
Well, now I just read recently that PlayStation has officially announced that there is no more back order issue with the PS5. You can spend your $800 wherever you want now, which is still mind-blowing to me for the price of a console. Like, no, thank you. I'm happy with my PS4. Thank you very much.
Until they stop support, right?
Yeah, then that's the thing, though. But I find that I don't play video games all that much. Like, I'll go through like spurts. So I'll go, you know, 6 to 8 months, won't turn it on at all. And then, you know, I'll want to replay Spider-Man or Miles Morales or, you know, Fallen Order or whatever. And I'll go through like a 2 or 3 month period where I'm playing it every other night for about an hour or two.
Yeah.
And then I'll just drop it again. So I'm very, you know, sporadic, I guess. So definitely not to the point where I'm willing to drop $700 or $800 for a new console. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I get like that too. Like, I always have the itch to play, that I'm just like, well, then I have to, you know, go downstairs, set up, sit there, play when I could, you know, sleep.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, or watch catch up on this show, or, you know, read a comic or something that's less time consuming and something you can easily, you know, drop. Cause I feel though, if you're going to sit there and play, you should dedicate not a large amount of time, but at least a decent amount of time to make it worth the sit down. Like, because I'm watching The Last of Us now that on HBO, and I have the game. I've never played the game, but I have it. I'm like, I should throw this on. But I've heard from what I heard from people, Like, it's not easy either. So, like, there's, you're going to have to commit some time just to progress even a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, well, do I want to dedicate that now or just watch the show? And then, hey, now I know the story.
So what did you decide? Just watch the show, stick with the show?
Yeah, that's what I'm watching now. Like, and now that I'm hearing it as it's going on, it's kind of deviating somewhat from the game. So if I go back to it, I'm not like I'm going to know everything that's going to happen, right?
Well, I don't think I could ever watch The Last of Us show because I'm too much of a pussy for horrors and whatnot. But what I've heard is that the first episode or two are very, very, like, almost scene for scene similar to what the game is like. I guess there's some cutscenes from the game that they really just basically
shot for shot almost.
Shot for shot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I think is pretty cool. Does it say, or do you know how many episodes are in the season for The Last of Us?
It's HBO, so I'm probably, you're looking anywhere between 8 to 10.
Okay. Okay. And what's your take on it so far? Like, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, no, for sure. I love it. Like, it's I think I've used this word a lot, but it's almost like the antithesis of what The Walking Dead was.
Okay.
They put more effort into not world building so far, but their focus is character.
Okay.
So, like, this last episode, from my understanding, it's these two characters in the game, and they fleshed the characters out more in this one episode than, like, anything that they were doing with the game. I think it was more of a, you have this character, this happens, he says something, he has his backstory, but this is, let's just do the whole episode on their story from start to finish.
Huh.
And then it bridges in the characters, like, from the game that they interact with them. There's a few cuts of that, and then but it goes back to their story. So that's, they said that was the biggest deviation from the game so far.
So I'm assuming that you've watched The Walking Dead, or at least parts of it. So having watched that and watching The Last of Us, which one are you preferring so far, knowing that there's only been like 2 or 3 episodes of The Last of Us?
I'm liking this more, how they're doing it versus, I guess the problem, I shouldn't say it. I love The Walking Dead until it got to a point, and then not that it strayed so far from the books. It was something that was like, we know this is not going to end. Like, they're not going to cancel the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to do whatever we want from here on out, and we'll dabble on what's going to happen in the books. But like The Whisperers, there's a season, 2 seasons, I think, of that. Did not need to go that long. Because it was like most things in the book, it's like,
there's a story arc.
Yeah. So they did about 2 seasons of that. Main characters, whatever. I know they changed things up, but the whole cast was. The whole cast was.
Robert Kirkman's calling.
Yeah. Don't you dare shit on The Walking Dead. Rick was gone. Like, Rick's, like, that's the story. It's the story of Rick, story of Carl. And by like the 9th or 10th season, they all were gone.
Yeah. There's and at that point, left. Yeah.
And then just from that, like, you cannot possibly end the story how you would end it in the book because they're already gone. And then spinoffs and.
Yeah. So were the spinoffs then created after Rick had left the show, or was it happening before he left the show? And then it just so happened that he left, so they, you know, had some other show to focus on.
I think it was probably a bit of both. Like, Fear the Walking Dead, he was, I think, involved in at the start, and then he left, and then. Now everything is spinoff.
Is there still Walking Dead shows on?
So The Walking Dead finished this past year. So in 2022, Fear the Walking Dead, they announced, is ending with its upcoming season. They did 2 seasons of what they called, I think it was The Walking Dead, The World Beyond. It was based on, basically it was kids that grew up in this world. Which I thought was an interesting premise. That's why I watched the first episode, and I found the acting just to be terrible. And then now they're doing, spinoffs of characters that were still around from the main series. Like, Daryl's getting his own series. Maggie and Negan's getting their own series. And then they're going to bring back Rick to do like a mini series to wrap up his story.
I would be interested to learn more about Negan's background, but you don't necessarily need to make spinoff after spinoff.
And they did do a backstory episode of Negan on The Walking Dead.
Like, oh, did they?
Wife and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
To me, that was like, that's all you needed to do.
Yeah. I stopped watching the show after the season with the governor.
That's, honestly, that's really where it started to go south, because after that season, after the, you know,
I think it was four or five.
Yeah. And what's even that too? They had like the attack on the prison, and then they had another season with another attack on the prison, which again, it happened once in the books.
Yeah.
They had one failed attempt, season ends, and the next season, like, they brought him back. Anyway, but it was after that season when the prison falls that they started to do. So you have 16 episodes, I think, a season. They would split it in half, which they always did, but they would do like an episode. It's these characters, an episode, another character, an episode, another character. So the story is not really progressing.
Yeah,
you're just finding out what people are doing at the same time.
Yeah,
because they were always splitting up, which was drove me nuts. And then it was get them all back together for like the finale. It's almost like an Avengers, right? You know, the portals open and here they come, whatever the big bad is. And then they would split up the next season again. And again, you have 16 episodes. You don't really need to drag it out. You can tell a cohesive story in 16 episodes. Have a filler, maybe one or two, but not have 8 episodes dedicated to 8 different characters.
Meanwhile, Robert Kirkman is just swimming in his dollar bills and...
Yeah, and suing money. AMC and all that stuff for more.
Like Scrooge Duck. Is he suing AMC?
I think there's still that outstanding lawsuit. Him and Frank Darabont, from him getting, you know, the axe after it was season 2.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's a big thing.
Shows how much I'm plugged in.
Oh, it was a long time ago. You easily could have forgotten.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Yeah.
So my mouse died out. Here we go. Okay. Do a little in the new stuff. So you hear what Netflix is a big thing. You big Netflix user?
I'm assuming.
Most people are. I am not. So password sharing over, according to the reports. So the plan is they are going to have each account have to set a primary location. So I guess you set your house as your primary. If you want to share outside of that location, you have to pay a fee. If you don't want to do that, you can register... extra users. So you can register for like a code that you can use when you're traveling. It's temporary. You can have it for about a week. But you have to keep, and this thing is, you have to keep signing into your account every 31 days. Otherwise, I think you get locked out.
It's so convoluted.
Isn't it though?
And you know, like, I know that
save some monies.
Netflix had, some issues, I think, year over year, quarter over quarter, where they were losing subscribers, and they had a string of losing subscribers after, what was it, like 15, 20 years of just constant growth.
Yep.
But I think about that. We actually use my father's account.
Not anymore.
Jade and I, not anymore. But I feel like, you know, wasn't this a threat that was that wasn't fulfilled like 2 or 3 or 4 years ago? They're like, oh, you better watch out, you know, password sharing is not going to be a thing, and then nothing ever happened with it. And then I hear this, what is it, March 1st, I think, is the date that it's starting,
yeah,
taking effect. But I think about, you know, my father and stepmother, they live in Calgary, which is fine, you know, when you're here in the summer, or when they're there in the summer, no problem. But they also are snowbirds who go down to Mexico every winter for the 6 months. So what does that mean? Do they, because if they have to get the code, is it good for a week, or do they just need to get the code and then ensure that they log in once every 30 days?
Yeah, it seems like it's still like the specifics are up in the air, but the general consensus is like you sign up for, sorry, you have your account, you get this code, after 7 days it's expired. So I don't know if you have to be back in your primary location in order to send yourself another code.
You need a PhD to understand what's happening with this new policy. And I'm curious, like, what the, you know, what the additional fee would be if you need to go over and above, or if you want to share your,
like you pay $15.99 a month and it's an extra $5. Almost like when you have like your Rogers box, right? You have the one main box, but you want to get a second one for upstairs. It's $5.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like the competitive landscape that Netflix is faced with is unlike anything they've ever faced before. You know, before they were like the only, you know, game in town for the most part that provided reliable, good quality content. But now you have the likes of like Paramount, you have Prime, you have HBO, you have Disney Plus, you have, you know, all the other ones, the free ones too, like who they're competing against is much more, available to everyone than what it was previously. So wouldn't they try to do everything that they can to make it more appealing? to their subscribers to say, you know what, hey, we're doing like, you know, maybe we do like a $1 or $2 increase per year. Sure.
Yeah.
But we will still allow you to do the five, you know, shareable account access or whatever you want to call it. Like, I just don't, I feel like I don't know what game they're trying to play, but I feel like they think that this move will entice people to say, like myself, to be like, well, you know what? I can't share my dad's account anymore. I guess I'll have to go and get my own, thinking that the stickiness is there because we are so loyal to Netflix. Well, you know what, Netflix, like I have so many other options that I don't necessarily need to rely on you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, this would have been something that they should have done maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I mean, it doesn't matter when they do it. It would have been people putting their arms up in the air, you know, pitchforks in the air and whatnot. Like, did I hear you say you don't use Netflix?
No, we don't.
Oh, no. Okay.
I was thinking when I had a Crave subscription years ago, the app, when I signed in, it gave you a maximum of 5 devices you could use.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though this could be the same way.
Yeah.
Just like Netflix gives you 5. So you'd say, okay, well, if you're sharing an account, you can have my TV, your TV. Then it gets, you know, how much you're going to let, you're like, okay, you can have the one TV at your house, but you're not going to let them use upstairs because we're using upstairs. So now we're at 3, you know, you can't use your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Cause each time you wanted to add a new one, you got to kick one off.
I think right now
probably would be the best compromise.
Yeah. Like right now with the Netflix, I think it has to be 5 devices per profile.
Mm-hmm.
It must be, because, you know, I'm thinking in our house alone, we have the three TVs, and the 2 iPads, there's 5, but then, you know, my dad and my stepmom have theirs, you know, my brother, like basically a family account. That'll be interesting to see what happens, or the backlash, you know, they might just see a subscriber drop off. Like they haven't experienced.
Well, I've been seeing that anyway. Like people are dropping it based just because of the content. Like they've been like, oh, I guess almost every streaming platform just seems to be on a killing spree and canceling show after show after show.
There needs to be, maybe you should stop recording because this is a $1 million idea. There needs to be like an a la carte option where you just go to the central area and it just tells you everything that is available for streaming. It doesn't tell you who the platform is, like which platform it's on. It's just, this is what's available to stream. And then you can choose to, you know, rent the season. You can choose to rent the movie. You can choose to buy the season or buy, you know, the movie, whatever you have. And then you just pay for that with whatever platform it's on, so that you're not paying these monthly fees for each and every one of them. You're just basically paying for what you use, for what you consume.
I think you just described going to Best Buy and picking up a season on DVD.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But then you have to go and like put it into the DVD player. And then you have to, like, there's just so much to do. And then what happens when you accidentally put in the special features disc, and then to get back up off the couch, take it out? Like, it's a whole thing.
It is funny how you can now sign up for a streaming platform, watch a movie, and stream the special features and deleted scenes now too. It's hilarious.
I didn't know that. You can?
Some do, for sure. Or in this case, Disney, where they can create whole other seasons or shows. That's like all the behind the scenes, like workings of, like, was it the Marvel's Assembled? Where it's always like, oh yeah, Black Panther, and then now here's how we made it, which is all the special features.
Yeah, we watched, we watched the deleted scenes from The Office and Seinfeld most often. So it'd be great if they would have those. I know Seinfeld's streaming on one of the platforms. Maybe they'll offer the deleted scenes with the regular seasons.
They need to do more, like all those, Burt Reynolds, like Cannibal Run and stuff, and like Grumpy Old Men have like the bloopers tied to the closing credits.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Like another one, I don't know why this came to mind, but remember Little Rascals? They had the little bloopers at the end.
Yes.
Donald Trump was in at the end of the movie, and they're having their go-kart or their
soapbox car race. Adult content, you Little Rascals.
They used to do that though.
I know. That was great.
It was.
Like Liar Liar too has like deleted outtakes right at with the closing credits.
You know what? They were end scenes before Marvel used the end scenes. Like they were the OG end scenes. You'd stay in the theater and see who the director was, or the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
the casting director, whoever, just because you could see the deleted scenes that they were just plugging everyone that was involved.
We talked about before, but you know what started the credits at the end of the movie?
No.
American Graffiti.
Really?
Yeah. When he when George Lucas like got all the people to, you know, buy into the movie, to get funding for him, he agreed to give the credits. But credits at the time were going to be so long at the beginning. So he was able to, through, I guess, to the MPA, get it to put a tag at the end. And that started it.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen American Graffiti.
Oh, you should. The soundtrack's fantastic.
Yeah, like I know the I know of the soundtrack, but it's the what is it?
It's like 10 hour and a half, 40 of just people driving around in cars.
Yeah, and it's like the last day of the summer before they go back to school, or they go off to school or something like that.
Yeah, so Richard Dreyfuss is supposed to be leaving town to go to school, but he's unsure if he wants to go to college, and so they go out for a night, and while they're driving, he locks eyes with I think it's Suzanne Summers, and the whole night he's trying to find her.
Oh, that's cool. Looks like a simple story, right?
Yeah, and it's got like Harrison Ford is in it, and good cast.
Actually,
it's a good movie.
One of the actresses that was in it, can't remember her name. She just passed away this week at age 75. I think she was in the show Laverne and Shirley as well. I remember hearing.
Oh, yes.
American Graffiti too. So, look, I was tying it all back to what's in the news. I'll have to watch Cindy Williams. Well, we talked about last week really quickly how, you know, it's refreshing to get those, you know, 90 minute movies, you know, not have to deal with a 2.5 hour film. Like, it's nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if it can be 3 hours, but if it doesn't feel like 3 hours and you're in it the whole time, then it's good.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly checking the watch, you know, wondering if when's this over? Like, oh shit.
Yeah. When you find you're monitoring your bladder more than watching the movie, it's a problem.
Yeah. Right. Like the last episode of The Last of Us was an hour 20, I think, or an hour.
Holy shit.
And they said it was originally cut for 2 hours. And the guy who wrote it, I guess, was watching it, said it didn't feel like 2 hours. And this hour and a half didn't feel like an hour and a half either for an episode of a series. Because it's just, you're so engaged with it.
How many times did you jump when you were watching the episodes?
Well, that's the thing. It's not, so far, it hasn't been like that. There's been one episode, and it's only part of an episode. I think it's the second one, where it's like, you're dealing with it, but everything else has just been character building, which is why it's not so much like The Walking Dead, more just like a character driven show. That's why I enjoy it so much.
That fungi will get you.
Right. Now they're saying that it's actually that in theory could happen.
I know. with the world, with climate change and the temperature rising. Well, I read that today.
Like, not to keep, you know, sucking the dick of the show, but the very first episode, they have two scientists talking, and he says that's the most, so the scariest thing is that we have viruses, we have disease, we have medications, we have cures. We don't for a fungal infection. So like if the fungi gets in you, we don't actively right now have anything that will be able to cure that.
Okay.
That's why he finds it terrifying. And then sure enough, here we go. Word comes out that, yeah, look, they're adapting.
Saddle up. Yeah. Maybe they're just preparing us for like Armageddon, you know, these subtle, you know, shows and, you know, warnings and whatnot. And then we just don't listen to it.
Dude, my in-laws have a land like just like Herschel's farm. You can see from every direction. It's in the middle of nowhere. That's where I'm going. Buckle up, get coral, and throw them in the back of the car.
That's right. Yeah, you'll be somewhere safe. Be rocking on the deck with your shotgun, making sure that no one comes up.
That, or if I'm sitting on the porch with my shotgun, I think I'm more in the south than I am in
the world. Fair enough. Oh, Lordy.
Move on before we get ourselves in trouble with that one. See Seth Rogen's comments today?
Was it the Airbnb?
No. Okay. So he was talking, I guess, prepping for the boys to come back, right? And he says how Marvel paved the way for that. But his comments were specifically that he says he loves Kevin Feige, but Marvel movies are geared towards kids. They're not really adult entertainment.
Does he give a bit of context?
Feige, he says, I think that? Kevin Feige is a brilliant guy, and I think a lot of filmmakers he hired to make these movies are great filmmakers. But as someone who doesn't have children, it is all kind of geared towards kids. There are times where I will forget it. This is, I watch one of these things as an adult with no kids, and oh, this isn't for me.
He's also high every time he watches the movies. Right. So does he forget about them because he's high or because he feels that they're written for kids? I think he brings up a good point, though.
I would say I will agree with that sentiment, specifically in regards to almost every introductory movie for a character, I think is far more kiddish and cartoonish than the subsequent sequels. Like right. Iron Man, you can plop it from anyone. They'll love it. First Captain America, first Thor. But then you get into Winter Soldier. I wouldn't say that's really one that's geared for kids. Civil War, for sure, not so much. Things like the first Avengers, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Second Avengers, I'd still say that. But Infinity War, Endgame, like you're dealing with, you know, with death and grief and stuff like that. But absolutely, 100%. First Guardians, yes. Second Guardians, it's a little more, you know, toned back and more serious, but 100% introductory movies for sure.
Yeah. Even like Thor Ragnarok too, right? Like it's, you know, more fantastical geared towards kids. But I also, in fairness to Marvel, which I haven't been giving them the benefit of the doubt in much of any area.
Hashtag's not my phase four.
Not my phase four. is that it's not only just about the movie as well. It's about, you know, merchandising, like Yogurt said, merchandising. It's about the clothes, it's about the toys, it's about the bed sheets, it's about the school bags, it's about everything that kids will want. Video games, action figures, like you see behind me. So yeah, naturally they are going to be tailored a bit more or lean a bit more towards kids. And let's be honest, comic books in their truest form are meant for kids, and certainly they have progressed to a point where there are more adult oriented themes and titles and whatnot that you can read. But if it's not for you, it's not for you, Seth, and that's fine. But maybe you can at least watch the movie and just enjoy it for what it is in that moment. If it's a good action movie, great, you've enjoyed it. Or, you know, if it's Winter Soldier, where it was like a great thriller, espionage, suspense movie, you enjoy it for what it is. So yeah, that was a very interesting comment that he said. But again, like, was he high every time he's watching the movie? Which
it's like you have to put an asterisk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you watched Endgame. How much did you smoke before you watched it?
Yeah. Aha. And how much did you remember?
Yeah.
Hey, how much were you giggling when they were going between the scenes? Yeah, also on Seth Rogen, I saw that he is going to be a part of his Airbnb for his California home. He's saying that people can rent his house and he will be there for $42, I think it is, I saw.
Was that all?
That's it, yeah. So I don't know. It's I didn't read the article in its entirety. It didn't capture my attention like it perhaps should have. But yeah, I saw that it was he would be a part of the Airbnb rental for his place.
He also had a comment about why he doesn't want to have kids. And like, I get it. Like his thing is, if I were to have kids, like I wouldn't have the time or wouldn't be able to be as creative or partake in the adventures that he's doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like, are you saying that you don't want kids because you figure they're going to be a crutch that's going to bring you down? Or are you saying that you're like selfish, that you really would just want to?
Yeah, I think
focus on this stuff, or just like, it's not for you, it's not for you. But it just seems like you don't have to quantify it with, this is why I'm not. You can just be like, if it's not for me. But it seems like it's saying people who have kids tend to not be creative anymore, or not have, like,
they don't live life. They die inside. Like, yeah, just leave it at, you know, it's none of our business whether, you know, we feel you should have kids, or we should ask why you don't want kids. Like, you just say, I don't want kids, and that should be the end of it. Christ, we have to be so inclusive and aware of so many other situations that, you know, when someone says that they don't want children, you should just respect it and be like, yeah, okay.
And you, what if that's, it's the social media age, or like we said before, everything has to be spelled out for somebody. We can't just have like opaque movies where you not know exactly how it ends. You can draw your own conclusion. I was like, no, you have to tell me specifically why X, Y, and Z happened. Or in this case, you are not having children. Please explain to me your justification for
something. You owe that to me.
Exactly. I gave you my $15 to see Knocked Up, and in that movie you had children, so this does not align.
Yeah. You had me believing that you were going to bear children. But you know what? Like, I mean, if it would be, Hollywood is a world and a reality in and of itself that mm-hmm. is so disconnected to what the real world is like that, you know, maybe it's a smart thing that you don't have kids and raise them in that world and expose them to that lifestyle. And I mean, I don't know. If I didn't have kids and I was a famous actor making millions of dollars, I still think that if I wanted kids, I'd have them. But I guess I'd be a bit more aware of the environment that I'd be raising them in. And it'd be very difficult to provide them just a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's deep. That's
it. I've never regretted it, but I felt like I wish I hadn't, only because of this pandemic that occurred. It's just like these kids are not going to remember a life that, you know, people are not walking around with face coverings. People are not, mm-hmm. not going to remember, you know, a world where, you know, at any second we can shut everything down again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the new norm for them, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Am I going to have to put this book into this quarantine bin for it to be sanitized afterwards? Or am I going to walk into a room and have to stop and put this shit on my hand? And it's going to be crazy.
We're going to have to wipe down our groceries. Remember when that was a thing?
Get up the palm oil. We gotta wash this bag of apples. And they're already sealed, so I don't understand. Yeah, even the takeout containers, right? Leave them outside.
Yeah.
You gotta like walk in, like just the clean room.
It's like it's like in ET, right? Like they got the tunnels, they got the, you know, close it off, spraying down the room. Leave it in the garage. Leave the milk in the garage.
Yeah.
Viruses can't survive in the cold.
Yeah, you DoorDashed some McDonald's.
Yeah, wild times, man. Wild times.
Yeah. Do you miss it? No, but at the same time, it was fun getting money for nothing.
I'll take some, please.
Yeah right?
It's just in the sand.
We'll forget out that it's just going to bankrupt our future.
That's right. Like, live in the now.
Yeah. Speaking of living in the now.
Introducing GoldenEye 007 and the first Bond adventure, where you direct the action.
Do you know how to use one of these?
Shot by shot. Load a rumble pack and see how it feels when 007 meets Nintendo 64.
Right?
Like,
So that's back now, eh? Nintendo Switch Online and Xbox. GoldenEye.
The
game that everybody played.
There are games that you remember fondly and will never forget.
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt for me. Contra, Kung Fu, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. But then you get into the next gen, and for me it was GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And 1080 too. And like, it was evolutionary from a gaming perspective. Like, it had, I want to say that it was the first of its kind that would it built in the realism as best it was back then.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't think you had first person shooters like that.
I don't think so.
I kind of like, you know, does that predate Doom?
That's a good question.
On the computer. Ooh, but maybe like in terms of like a multiplayer first person shooter.
Right. That's a good question. But like GoldenEye, I want to say it spawned Medal of Honor. Like, Medal of Honor was also like, the first one was amazing. Call of Duty, like, it was it ushered in this whole new wave of games. And like, I would 100% play that original version again today, right now, if I could. It would be fun.
Yeah,
I'd probably really suck at it, but I'd be curious to see if they. So, did they say anything about it being like based off of the GoldenEye movie? Or are they going to do like the Craig? What's his name? Craig. You cut out?
It's Pierce Brosnan in GoldenEye
for sure. But are they going to do
Daniel
like
Daniel Craig did this? No, I think this is just straight up ported the OG version onto Nintendo Switch's only system, and you're good to go.
amazing.
Probably polish up a little bit as much as you can with a 64-bit. But
just remember, even like going choosing through like all the different guns that you had, it was amazing. It was so fun.
Yeah, I don't think I remember anybody playing the like single player story mode. Just all my friends were always, we got together and hook up the controllers and go.
You'd have you could choose all the different characters, and I can't remember the assassin with the hat.
Oddjob.
Oddjob, that's right. You could shoot, you could play him, you could play all the different ones. Oh, so good. It's so good. I might, Oliver has a Switch, so I might just have to buy that for him / me when it comes out.
It's always for the parents. It's never for the kids. Yeah. It's like the opening line in the, or not opening line, but one of the lines in the Everybody Loves Raymond credits. It's not really about the kids.
No. Me.
Yeah. Always about dad. Dad needs his stuff. Okay, so the other big thing that came this week.
Oh, I am so excited. So you have
James Gunn has announced the DC. You, I guess it's just DC. It's not the extended universe anymore. It's just the DCU because everyone has to copy Marvel. So the slate for the next, well, he says he's got a 10-year plan, but this is the next, what, 2 years, more or less?
The two, you didn't call them phases. What do you call them?
Chapters.
Chapters, that's right.
This is chapter one. Gods and Monsters is how we're kicking things off. So we have the current slate of films. March 17th, we have sequel to Shazam, The Flash in June, August, Blue Beetle, and Aquaman on December of 2023. But in between The Flash and The Blue Beetle, we have The Great Universe Reset, leading into, chapter one, Gods and Monsters, and it's a whole bunch of stuff. We have Creature Commandos, an animated series, an Amanda Waller series, a new Superman, Superman Legacy, Lanterns TV series, The Authority, it's a movie, Paradise Lost, live-action series, that's Wonder Woman, Batman the Brave and the Bold, it's a movie, not with Robert Pattinson, a separate entity, Booster Gold, live-action series, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, that's a movie, then Swamp Thing. And then they also, stuff that's happened and continuing, is now in Elseworlds, so that's the sequel to Robin Pattinson's The Batman, the second Joaquin Phoenix Joker, Teen Titans Go, and the CW Superman and Lois.
Yeah. I'll turn the floor to you first, sir.
I have no problem with the projects that he's doing. I don't believe it's reset at all. I think that's just his way of saying, I wanted to cast somebody different to Superman. Because you can't say it's a reset, but continue. And then actually say that they're open to keeping the same actors. And again, say it's a reset. I think that's just bullshit. He wanted to do a new Superman. He didn't run Henry Cavill. This is the way of justifying it. Because you're doing Amanda Waller series with Viola Davis, who, again, is currently in the role. So, again, how are you resetting some shit? There are even talk of Gal Gadot still staying on.
For Paradise Lost,
He said that actors who currently are cast will not play new characters. So there goes the Lobo theory with Jason Momoa. So again, if he's still Aquaman, how are you resetting everything? Which again leads me to believe that 100% Ezra Miller is going nowhere.
Yeah.
He even made a point too about controversy or no, he's not changing his plans based on what someone may do or say that he doesn't agree with. So that's, you know, that's Zachary Levi, who's now the whipping boy for controversy, right? With his supposedly anti-vax comments that came up this week as well. It sounds like he really wanted to do a Superman movie and he didn't want to have Henry Cavill in it. So he's resetting, but keeping everybody else.
Yeah, he was, and James Gunn was saying that Superman Legacy is going to be that everything from Superman Legacy onwards is going to be canon. Everything before Superman Legacy is not necessarily canon.
Thinking, so if they don't cut out, like, let's just say this, like, if they're not going to cut out the Batman cameos in Aquaman, which apparently there's Keaton supposed to be in it and Affleck supposed to be in it, then you have now established three Batman in this universe, because this is coming out after the reset. So you're stepping on your own toes by doing that. So I'm going to assume they're cut if he's not going to have anybody else. But then there's the interactions. I don't know. And then again, the Amanda Waller and having everybody from Peacemaker being involved, when Peacemaker still ties into the I guess the Snyderverse, as it were.
I never understood Amanda Waller's involvement with the DCEU or all of the movies that she appeared in.
It's a very odd character that they're really, really like shoving down our throats.
They've always shoved her down their throats, and I feel she's always been portrayed as this, you know, shadowy figure that's controlling, and that, you know, her involvement and what she knows is a lot more than what it, you know, is on the surface, so to speak. But it's never gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is after numerous appearances, not only in movies, but in TV shows. So yeah, to your point, I don't understand that. I don't know if it's a relationship that Gunn has with her, because she was in the second Suicide Squad that he directed.
Yeah. And I think, in Peacemaker too, the series.
I feel like that perhaps they are almost setting themselves up yet again for failure, where they have these flashy logos and they have these flashy dates and flashy titles that we haven't seen before, that it's going to draw excitement. But as a comic book fan,
mm-hmm.
and one that's read comics for years, I'm looking at the titles that are here on the screen.
Yes.
And I can't draw a line on where the cohesion is between them all. Like Batman, Brave and the Bold, and The Authority. And then you have Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which just recently ended. Great series, by the way, but just recently ended with Creature Commandos. And then Swamp Thing. Like, there's like, I don't, you know, whereas if you look at like what Marvel did, they had the main four. They had, you know, mm-hmm. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, even Hulk, sorry, and then the Avengers. And then they had, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like they systematically introduced the characters that was progressing the story. Without knowing what their end goal is, it's hard to buy in on what they're trying to sell me.
Right.
Because of what's happened in the past. Like you can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, I think we've had this maybe offline, not on the show conversation, but just throwing a title, like, should not, if Batman Brave and Bold is going to be about Batman and Robin, and Robin being Damian, is that not All-Star Batman and Robin?
100% it is.
And
written by Grant Morrison. And even James Gunn has said that the Brave and the Bold is going to be that Batman and Robin relationship, the Damian and Bruce relationship, is going to really be pulled from the Grant Morrison run. Grant Morrison didn't write Brave and the Bold. He wrote Batman.
That's what I mean. So I don't understand I don't understand when they take the titles that don't
line up.
Line up with what they're doing. If you're literally going to take, like, I know, was it Scott Snyder is on All-Star Batman and Robin? Or was it, no, All-Star Superman? One of them. But yeah, like, when I see Batman Brave, I think of the Diedrich Bader cartoon that they did. So I'm thinking more campy. Yeah, well, I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, more campy, because like, having that right next to Booster Gold, that's where I can make the connection to, because, you know, it popped up on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like you said, slapping another title on a story that doesn't line up. And not to, like, most people don't know Bruce had a kid.
No.
So they're going to see Robin. They're going to go, oh, they changed Robin and they made him his son. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense because it's his ward, but it's not Dick Grayson. It's his actual blood. And
yeah, I'm not a big fan of Damian to begin with. Like, maybe I'm just a traditionalist.
Well, to me, Damian, it's just you took Jason Todd and made him his kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's got the attitude and
gave him a bit of the tood.
Yeah.
But it's even like, you know, with Superman now has a son, Jonathan Kent, in the comics, and like they're trying to make him the more important Superman
mm-hmm.
than the OG.
Right.
And I get, like, sometimes you need to keep things fresh and that's fine, but you're completely, you know, switching it. And that's what concerns me with Superman Legacy is, like, is it going to be a Jonathan Kent or a Clark Kent focus? And I hope to God it's a Clark Kent. If it's a Jonathan Kent, I'm not even watching it. I won't entertain it. But I guess the big thing comes down to Flash. Like, what's going to happen after the Flash? The whole Ezra Miller, you know, staying on, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. Shouldn't happen. But I guess we'll find out June 16th what that will entail.
Yeah, it's a
biggest thing I'm excited about is the Batman Part Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll entertain lanterns. Like, they've been talking about doing a Green Lantern Corps series for years.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I don't think their plan was to use either Hal Jordan or John Stewart.
Of course. Like, they won't use like the most popular ones.
I think now they are.
Yeah. They realize that it'd be stupid to, yeah.
You can't use Guy.
Yeah, Guy's okay, but you know, like if they use Kyle Rayner, I'll cash.
Yeah, I think that was the plan. Was use those two.
I'm looking forward to Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. If it's anything like the book that Tom King wrote, it should be amazing. Because it is a great series, mini series. Swamp Thing, I guess, kind of wait and see. I feel like that's been tried many times, like Superman has and like Batman has. I feel like Swamp Thing's been...
I was enjoying the series until they, you know, shortened it and canceled it. And like, well, then there's no point of watching the rest of it.
Well, I didn't even get to the point of watching it before they decided to cancel it. Didn't they cancel it mid-season?
I think it was like, yeah, a couple episodes
like,
in.
Yeah, like not a whole lot.
From what I read, they lost their tax credit in North Carolina. So it's like, well,
all right.
Guess we're not going to have to pay for this. So
some things that you should probably shore up when you're about to make a TV show. The Authority. The Authority was written just as I was getting back into comics. It was when like Warren Ellis was at his peak and Brian Hitch was just coming into his peak. So it was just before I got back into it. And I never really read it, but it could be like a Boys kind of spinoff, I guess, like DC's version of the Boys in that world, because the Authority, like, they're, you know, kind of anti-heroes. They're not really like your Boy Scout, Girl Scout kind of characters or whatnot that you might see in the Justice League. So maybe that's going to be their unique take on it, using the Authority characters. What else? Booster Gold TV series, perfect. I don't think it should, I don't think it calls for a movie. It's very blah.
You're looking for and expecting like the Trinity to be on full swing and then the rest of the Justice League to show up, but you're not getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
to me, and these logos look like, yeah, they all should be fucking cartoons or TV shows.
And it's funny because I would imagine that James Gunn is trying to ensure that we don't compare what he's doing to what Marvel did. Like, he's trying to separate.
But they should be doing what they did.
I get it. He's trying to make us not correlate between the two, which we totally are, because, you know, I'll even ask you right now, which I'm sure I know the answer, is that every time they've released a Marvel phase, there was a title or two or three that were like, holy shit, this is going to be amazing. Like, this is, you know, and even like with the first one, when we didn't even know what the story was, you know, Captain America, the first agenda, Magic's going to be Generation Red Skull. It's going to be sick. Whereas here it's like you're just kind of like you're glitching a little bit, you know, you're trying to figure out what's happening here.
To me, it screams like James Gunn is going to make movies and TVs over the characters that he likes.
Yeah.
Like, these are his favorites, so this is what he wants to see.
It's going to be really hard to get a bunch of cool different soundtracks for each of these properties, James. So,
yeah, when I saw that he was writing and directing Superman, that to me that just screamed, this is all what it's about.
Yeah.
Superman. Like, maybe he can do something completely different, but based on his filmography, Superman does not fit with what he's done in the past.
No. So let me ask you, what do you think they should do with Superman? Which is, it's a very sad thing that's happened with that character, because he...
Well, wasn't that this one? It's him coming to copes with his...
Oh, with the Kryptonian, like...
Do we have that? Like, isn't that what Superman Returns was? Like, that was the whole point of him leaving Earth after... How's the story go? With after Superman 2?
After Superman 2 left for 5 years, and then he decided to come back.
Yeah, and then the rest is that boring movie. Yeah, like, that just seems like it's been done to death. Like, that's also what Man of Steel kind of was about too, right? Is less him coming to terms with it, just him more realizing that there's more that he could do with it than what is, you know, I don't know. John Kent in that movie was a fucking dick. Well, this was let the kid die. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. So yeah. It's all about you.
Protect yourself, right?
So yeah, it's all about you.
He doesn't need to protect. Man. He can protect himself. He just has. He has a power that he can protect others. That's what Sim's coming to terms with that. Man, we should have less of Superman coming to terms with shit. Just be a hero.
Yeah. Man of Steel could have been such a.
It could have been
an awesome movie if it wasn't so Snyderized.
Yes.
Trademark.
Slow motion, American flags just everywhere.
Everything. And like, you know, the slow panning, like lost in thought, like silhouettes or montages. Just like, stop. Yeah. Like, just give us the classic Christopher Reeve, you know, first one. Like, just like, let's just go.
Yeah. None same with Superman Returns could have been so well, given how much Brandon Routh resembled, acted, and was essentially Christopher Reeve Superman, but he wasn't really given much to do, and it was more just mopey, sulking, I'm alone in the universe, right?
He was only given two things to do. He was given, stop a plane and stop bullets with your eyeball. After that, it was a
cool scene.
That was a cool scene, for sure, but, I mean, it's Superman. Like, you know, I don't want to watch a movie about real estate, you know, endeavors.
It was a real estate game, which, again, was not what Luther did in the first one.
Yeah, it's true. He did do that, yeah.
He's this like ruthless businessman who only has one set, and it's real estate.
It's real estate. He understood that property values can rise.
If it's the only property around and he's the one that owns it. Cha-ching.
It got me thinking, though, that with the Elseworlds, what would be your top two or three stories that you'd like to see in a movie or a TV series, just the two Elseworld properties stories would you like to see adapted?
It could be like just anything.
Yeah, I'll go. Number one, I'd love to see a Superman Red Son. I think it could be a movie, but I think it would be better suited for perhaps a TV show if it were given the dollars to not be like Lois and Clark or Superman and Lois, but be like a Game of Thrones where there's money invested in it and they could like expand on him growing up.
Or even like a Marvel presentation, right? Like a 45-minute thing. Like they should do like a 45-minute series of just, that's what it is. It's Elseworlds. Each one, it's like an anthology series. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Red Son for sure. And then the second one would be, I was thinking about this today, Kingdom Come, but do I think it would be better suited as a movie or a, you know, like a trilogy or a season or two. Again, like every time I think about a TV show, like I do not want it to be like Warner Brothers TV shows.
Bugs Bunny biting the carrot.
Yeah. Like I just
or like the CW series. You mean?
CW. I want them to be. I want them to have a big
budget. Not teen dramas.
Yeah, I want them with a big budget. I want them to, really expand it and not be campy and stupid.
Yeah,
so it'd be two.
I was thinking we do Elseworlds again. If it was a TV series, but you have a whole season that is dedicated to Flashpoint, so each episode is what's changed.
Yeah, that'd be amazing,
because I feel we got robbed with the Flash when they did Flashpoint on that one season.
It was
wrapped up in four episodes
like two or three episodes. That's right. Like, where you thought the whole season. Yeah, like,
yeah.
So you know what they should have done is like, you know what, hey, we've got The Flash coming out June 16th, 2023. You know, it's going to reset the DCU. And what we're going to do is in the fall of 2023, we're going to launch our first TV show, which is going to be the follow-up to your point. We should just do like a 45-minute episodes of, you know, touching on different parts of the world, touching on the Amazonians and like Atlantis and like, you know, them, you know, building up to a war and the demise of, you know, superheroes, or like Bruce Wayne's father, Thomas Wayne, being the Batman, and just focusing on that. And then that would expand your Elseworlds universe. Tell you, I'm sure I have my resume here somewhere I can send over to.
I feel like you probably couldn't get it as a movie because of all the moving parts, but yeah, you probably could do Elseworlds if it's do Arkham Asylum that way.
That'll be amazing.
Just because different Batman properties having all the different villains involved, that's probably the only way to get them together and have your one off.
I'm just not excited about this, and I also have a bad taste of the previous like five times that they've tried to do this. So yeah. I just don't know. What day is June 16th? Is that a Friday?
Well, it's a movie coming out. I'm going to say it's a Friday.
It's Friday. Well, who knows? DC, they might release it on a Tuesday.
Just like, to be different.
I wouldn't put it past them. So we'll definitely be recording that night because I'm sure we're both going to be going to see that movie.
You're like, motherfucker.
And then, yeah, yeah. We'll just have to slap that E on the episode for explicit because we'll be swearing the whole time.
Every title following The Flash will be canon and will be connected. Okay, so that means...
Does that mean Blue Beetle and Aquaman then?
That's what I'm saying. So you're not really resetting anything, are
no,
you?
No. He said everything after Superman Legacy is canon, not Flashpoint.
Well, that's the tweet that I found. Unless someone's misquoting Mr. James Gunn.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misread it. I thought it was Superman Legacy. I thought that was the official kickoff.
The bread and butter. It's all he cares about.
I'm telling you. What are you gonna do?
They're
still going to take our dollars. I mean, let's be honest.
Someone's going to go. Somebody's going to go.
I mean, I'll go see probably 75% of those titles that we were just looking at. Some begrudgingly, some not. But guaranteed at this point, every one of them I'll be pissed off by the time I walk out of that movie theater or turn off the TV.
It feels like we're at the age where it's just all going to piss us off now.
Yeah.
Except for Ant-Man. Ant-Man's got you hooked.
2 weeks away.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep. I need to get my tickets. I keep pushing it off, but I don't think it'll be an issue.
Just be sick that day.
Oliver knows, every time he knows a movie's coming out or upcoming, and I pick him up from school on days like I normally pick him up on, I pick the boys up normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yep.
If I go on a Friday, then he automatically knows like, oh, where are we going? Yeah, where are we going? We're not going anywhere. Mom had to work late. Can't tell a lie. We pull into the Empire Theaters. Tell you.
Yeah, I haven't taken Parker or any of the kids to one of those ones yet, but he's hell-bent on seeing the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Are you equally hell-bent on seeing it?
I don't know. It looks fun enough, but it's definitely not going to be for me, but the nostalgia will be there.
Yeah.
Still Bob Hoskins.
Hey, really quickly, Tom Brady retired second time this week.
Retired, yes.
And he is the last active athlete that was drafted by the Montreal Expos to retire.
Oh, yeah, because he played baseball first, right?
Well, he never played, but he was drafted by the Expos. He was like a dual player.
Yeah.
And he was the last active player that the Montreal Expos had drafted. So now we can officially say that the Montreal Expos are no longer a thing.
And that includes the Montreal Canadiens look-alike retro jerseys.
From this past week, the blue ones.
Yeah.
They're not nice looking. Not nice looking.
Yeah, I don't know. 100 plus years to draw inspiration from, and you color them like your failed baseball team.
That's right. Yeah. Yuppie liked them, so maybe that's why they decided to do it.
This must have been in those marketing meetings. Although, from what I heard, at least with respect to ours, I'm going to assume they're all the same, that it was there was no team influence. It was strictly Adidas and the NHL that did those guys up.
Really?
That's my understanding.
Huh. That's...
I said, who signed up on those guys? And they said, no, it was Adidas.
Wow. I find that... You're saying, but I just find it surprising that
it is very hard to. It's very hard to believe
the teams on
especially the layout. We gotta wear them, so we might as well be the ones to discuss what they look like.
Yeah, no, just get out there. Reverse
pictures. Yeah. So last week you were talking about Groundhog Day, and you wanted to talk about the science behind it. So I was watching a classic. I'll show a clip here of our good friend Rocky Balboa. So everyone remembers this famous scene after he finally accepts the fight with Apollo. Now we'll see if Universal Artists and MGM try to shut us down for showing you.
Probably.
Stallone's got good lawyers.
The Tulsa King will come after you.
Yeah. Ever since he was 15, he wanted to be a gangster. So his training regimen kicks off, as we all know.
Correct.
He gets up in the morning. He goes to the fridge, clearly wipes his nose because that's what we do, and cracks open 4 big white eggs into a cup.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2. I remember watching this going, does he put that many? Like, fills up half the glass?
I can't remember. I thought, for some reason, I thought he put the eggshells in as well, but no.
No, oh, it's like 5.
We're at 5. Holy shit.
He probably had a line that he had to hit, right? And then just down it goes.
Okay, yeah, there's salmonella for you.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I looked up, like, is there like a point to this? Was like, is this the reason why he did this in the movie? And I couldn't find it, but yeah, straight up, they said, don't do this.
Yeah, no,
there's aside from, you know, proteins and shit like that, but there was absolutely no health benefits to downing raw eggs like that. You risk more health problems than anything else.
Just microwave them, like whip them up, put them in the microwave for a minute, and at least eat them lukewarm or lukewarm.
Yeah, so health wise do not drink raw eggs, despite how despite how cool it looks, but it didn't look cool.
No, and I mean, like,
disgusting.
Yeah, and he is probably hoping, as you know, a 26-year-old Sylvester Stallone, like, God, I hope I do this in one take. Imagine he wasn't able to, and he downed like a dozen eggs, just puking yellow the entire time. No. But you see, the unfortunate thing is that there are those out there that will see that, and then they will be like, "Well, this is a good idea.
Rocky did it.
If Rocky can beat a Russian, and you know,
go back and watch those movies. And watch Rocky box. He does not cover his head.
No." He
6 movies,
very loosey-goosey, we'll say. Don't drink the eggs. It's just not good for your health.
Yes, that is something you take to the bank.
Take that to the bank.
That's right. Because open collar cares. You need the more sound effect.
Who knows? The listener and the viewer might not ever know what we're talking about if the studio has their way and they cut out that scene.
Oh yeah.
sound effects. We need to do this.
We need more.
Yeah.
Anyway. Need to be like a travel zoo, like morning show on the radio.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Do those.
I don't have an air horn one. I have a ding ding.
Perfect. That should be like for Florida guy or whatnot. Other games of enjoyment that we do.
That's right.
I'm going to say that's one of my favorite videos to send. That's one of my favorite videos to send when someone says something incorrect or does something.
That's right.
Just throw the 6-second clip in.
Yeah, Price is Right fails are the best.
They really are.
All right, man.
That's it.
That's all.
Another episode in the books. What episode are we at now? Was this 97? 98? Whoa. Coming up to a milestone.
That's right. Will not be live on location at Milestones either.
No. Oh, man. We'll have a big party planned. 24-hour podcast. You know that there actually was a 24-hour podcast done back in like 2006, 2005? Hey. There was... What's that?
This is why.
There was Around Comics and a few other Chicago-based comic book podcasts that were around. I listened to them all.
Podathon or something?
And they organized a 24-hour podcast. And it was great. Like, they did movie reviews. They did trivia. They brought in, like, Michael Brian Bendis came for an hour and did an interview. But some of them were drinking, you know, when they, like, not all of them were there for the full 24 hours.
Right.
Like, there were some that, you know, tagged in and tagged out.
Yeah.
The last like 4 or 5 hours, there was a few of them that were just like so overly tired, you know, wasn't making sense, but it was, you know, a feat, I would say. 24 hours of straight podcasting. We should do that
an hour and a half is too long.
Yeah. We're at an hour and 20. Could you imagine doing this for 24 hours? No. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. No,
we'll do that. We'll do that for the 100th. We got a couple of weeks to prepare for it. So
I'm sure it'll be at least 2 hours.
Yeah. At least like the same running time as a regular movie now, right?
Yeah.
Like right now we do movies from like the 90s in terms of runtime. You know,
we could do like a almost like a Fox. Like there's a good Fox liked having an hour and 40, mm-hmm. which like an hour and 44.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and watch the first X-Men and the third X-Men, they're on roughly around the same runtime. That was their bread and butter. We got to keep it under two,
but over that half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how shit the third movie is.
Doesn't matter. Keep it the same. Just as long as it's long enough to meet 100%. That 100 minutes.
The Last Stand. Like, so terrible.
It had promise. It had such promise. The first like trailer and two, but.
Fell flat on its face. Was that the one with the Archangel and the virus? Yeah. Okay.
The Cure.
The Cure. That's right. It's so bad. Oh, that's right. Because didn't Magneto get cured? That was the whole thing. And then they got retconned from First Class. Yeah. Brett Ratner. Like, wow, what are you doing, bud?
I should have stuck with Rush Hour.
Should have. Rush Hour's 1 and 2.
Yeah, man.
Anywho. I got outro.
Yeah, just I got say. No
outro. I'm trying to think. Like every week I'm like, okay, I gotta come up with something. I got
be something funny, like this is open collar, and remember, keep your marriages like your collars open. Or mind, keep your mind like your collar.
See, this is what we should be ending with instead of me being like, catch you on the flippity flop.
But if you're doing that, you have to have a basketball net behind you.
That's so
you
right.
Toss like Scott.
Hey, just,
and down, just down go your shelves.
Yeah, that's right. Just chuck them all. Catch on. That would be something that Michael Scott does, though. It would be very fitting.
You got enough like decent collectibles, you don't want to destroy them.
No, that's so. True. So I will come up with something. You know, I'm going to make it my mission that by episode 100.
Episode 100. You have two more to think of.
The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking.
That's right. It takes a licking. That's what she said.
Good night, good listeners.
There it is. Boom. End broadcast.